Sam Cedar fans, your blue balls are about to get a little bit bluer. Here's substitute host, Mark Maron.
All right, geniuses. Philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Lively discussion we had about impeachment. I have been set straight. I will admit that. I had been duped by a Rovian device that made me a little wishy-washy, a little passionately confused and ambivalent. But I have been set straight, and I say we move forward full steam ahead and impeach the bastard. That's it. That's where I'm at with that. Now, earlier in the show, we had a discussion about the word fag that I used once a long time ago in a comedy bit, and then had a discussion about it. And I was taken to task by a couple of very angry men who have apparently both been very angry at me. I become their hate puppet for that discussion and the use of the word. And I was called hateful. I was called insensitive. And I disagree with them. I am contrite about that moment, but I think that the word in and of it, when you talk about this stuff, anything can be said hatefully. And I never used that word with any hate, nor do I use it in my regular conversation. Rob in Manhattan is calling me. Rob, how are you?
Yes, how are you, Mark? You know, I am a gay man, and I just want to say, number one, I've been listening to you since day one when you were in the early morning hours of Air America, and you always cracked me up. You were very funny, especially your lines like Evangelical Zombie Brigade.
Yeah, sure.
It shows you how much I listen to you.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I don't disagree with these gay men, and gay men were particularly sensitive about this, but they could have been much more diplomatic to you. You have been so supportive of gay rights. Mm-hmm. And so supportive of gay marriage and all these other things that they could have taken into consideration how they talk to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And I thought, Air America, I know that there are sometimes slips of the tongues and stuff like that, but Air America in general, and it's sad to think that you might go off the air, but they've been so helpful about gay people. It's unbelievable, and I just feel very bad about what happened today.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Rob. People, when they get the opportunity to express their anger, it comes out, and I understand that, and we've moved past that. I appreciate that call. Let's talk about Apocalypto. I don't know if I'm a self-hating Jew, but I immediately wanted to see it. I don't know if I'm willing to forgive Mel Gibson. We've all been drunk. We've all said things we shouldn't. Clearly, that as indication of some of the discussions we've had today. I don't know really. Ultimately, how clear he is in his anti-Semitism, it's obviously in there. Should that matter? Does it matter? I'll tell you one thing. I just read a review of the film in Salon that said it historically inaccurate, but it does not portray the Mayans well. I've read other views that say it's too violent, and I'll tell you what. One, it's not too violent. Two, whether it portrays the way the Mayans really lived or not, the message about power and about decay and about the end of civilization and about when death becomes a way to enchant the people of a particular population into believing in power, and that fear is there. There were moments of that. The movie, in a lot of ways, is brilliant in the sense that it was a silent movie. It was like a D.W. Griffith movie in a way, because it was in a dialect that no one even understands anymore, but a handful of people, and which made it, in essence, a silent film. But D.W. Griffith, also a racist and a Jew hater. But I don't know if that's a theme or what. But I want to talk to my buddy Jerry Stahl, the author of Permanent Midnight, I, Fatty, and most recently an op-ed piece in the New York Times about the phenomenon of what forgiveness means in Hollywood in the case of Mel Gibson. He's with us on the phone from Los Angeles. Thank you for getting up, Jerry.
My pleasure. And I'm sorry that somebody was hating you this morning.
That's
gotta hurt for you.
I got a head full of gay anger this morning, Jer.
Is that before you got to the studio?
No, it was after.
There's no shame in that, man. We all have a little bit of that.
Obviously you saw the movie, right?
I did, yes.
And did you like it, really, honestly?
Lighthearted romp.
Lighthearted bloody romp.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, he's getting I'm not a Gibson apologist.
No, I think he's getting a bad rap. I mean, you know, it's in the American grain to be anti-Semitic. It's all the way back from the beginning. So I think he's in a great tradition. You know, Walt Disney with the Hasidic little, you know, money collectors and the Mickey Mouse movies. Mel's just carrying on a tradition, and I think he's, you know, he's taking some heat for it.
A Hollywood tradition. But how does that work that, you know, Hollywood is filled with, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but it is run by Jews, and he works with these Jews. And do they hate themselves, or what is the priority there? How come he's not getting shunned?
I think it's if you're talking about anti-Semitism, it's beyond Hollywood. It's sort of Hollywood in the sense that Hollywood reflects America. And, you know, this is a country where Henry Ford used to slip the protocols of the Elders of Zion into the glove compartments of cars when he sold them. So, you know, we forget that Hitler had Ford's picture over his desk and that, you know, we have a grand tradition in this country of hating Jews.
But
I think, you know, this is a little bit hypocritical to suddenly pick on one guy who's the end product of a long line of noble and upstanding Jew loathing.
And also, there's a certain amount of separation in some respects between a guy and the art that he produces. Yeah, obviously, the Passion of the Christ. Look, I don't know. Like, clearly, you know, Jesus is dead, and apparently the Jews had something to do with it. I don't know what part we played or how deep it was, but you know, he's got his own opinions about that. But this movie doesn't reflect anti-Semitism, unless I missed something. Was there a Star of David on one of the bad guys in the film? There was a lot of jewelry.
I think some of the loincloths were styled in kosher fashion.
Yeah.
You know, because as a lot of people don't know, the Jews used to peddle loincloths to the Aztecs. And it's, you know, you get the history muddled in this different series. But yeah. Beyond that, hey, you know, I don't think it was an anti-Semitic movie in that sense, no.
Well, let's talk about the theory that you have about perhaps this is just another way that Mel Gibson wants to humiliate himself publicly, perhaps to fuel his art.
Well, I think, well, put it this way. You can't expect your artists to be fun guys. I mean, if you were watching Picasso paint Guernica and he punched a woman in the stomach, do you suddenly hate the painting? You tell me. I don't know. The eternal question.
Yeah, I get you. That's a good question. But I think that has something to say about the way information is processed now. No one can do anything by themselves or do anything that is unseen.
I'm being filmed now. I'm on best behavior.
But are you naked wearing a diaper? That's the question.
Like I said, I'm on best behavior.
Now, what about the point you made? I think in the article that really resonates and that is true is that Hollywood and probably America, but maybe not in the case of Fatty Arbuckle, is willing to forgive anybody. Certainly, Hollywood is if they still make money at the box office.
That's a cynical point of view.
Oh, come on.
But I think to some extent it helps.
Yeah.
It helps to be forgiven.
Yeah.
If you continue to be successful because everybody loves success, and then you can overlook a few minor details. But also, I don't think that rampant, virulent, drunken anti-Semitism is, you know, there are worse character flaws.
Yeah. Like
and
what?
It's not like the guy didn't ask for forgiveness, you know, and as it said in the article, small though it was, I want my anti-Semites to be ranting, wild-eyed, looking like they've just been blowtorched by the side of a road in the middle of the night. I don't want just a normal guy standing there in a nice little suit.
Right.
And reasonable-looking, because then you can pass.
Right.
And it just sounds like it's just reasonable banter.
I hear you.
Gentleman's agreement type of anti-Semitism, as opposed to the screaming in your face, ludicrous kind.
Now, is the country going to forgive Michael Richards?
Who? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Michael Richards. Well, obviously, he was on the tip of everybody's tongue before that happened.
Yeah, right.
You know, he'll just be back on top. I don't think that's an issue for Michael.
All right, Jerry, thanks so much for being on, man.
Thank you. It's always a treat. I wish we could hear you out here.
Yeah, I do, too. I'll be back. I'll come to your house and talk to you.
That's as good as it's going to get. Thanks, man.
All right, take it easy, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Jerry Stahl. Coming up next, we got Svetlana coming in. I, you know, that whole I can't just open that can of worms right now. It's 16 past. It's Mark Maron. I am in for Sam Cedar, and I love you people.